thanks for hanging in there with us. We always appreciate you guys doing that. And we'd also love it if you would check us out. Where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook, like us, please. Lots of cool stuff on there. And, of course, on the interactive website. That's a nice thing to go check out when you don't know what else to wander down in the world of the internet. So that's the TheValleyOutdoors.com. So check that out. Coming out of Minnesota, the story goes with the Minnesota Bear Hunt Lottery applications. They're now open for those applications through May 1st. Prospective bear hunters have until Friday, May 1st, to apply for a bear hunting license through the Minnesota DNR. They can submit the application online at any licensing agent or by phone, and we'll have that on our website. People can apply for preference only, which will accrue a preference point to increase preference level for future year bear hunt lotteries. The DNR has 5,330 licenses available across the 15 bear permit areas for 2026, which opens Tuesday, September 1st, and closes Sunday, October 18th. Number of licenses available each year in a quota area are based on the Minnesota bear population trends for those areas. License quotas for 2026 include a moderate increase where population trends indicate sufficient growth. The DNR will mail notifications to winners by June 1st. They can also check the results on the DNR website. And the deadline, again, to purchase the license that you've been awarded, you have to buy the license, is Saturday, August 1st. Any remaining licenses will be made available at noon on August 5th. An unlimited number of bear licenses will be sold over the counter for the no quota area that includes East Central and far northwest Minnesota. No quota licenses are valid only in the no quota area. So you can hunt with a quota or no quota license. Hunters with either one who are interested in taking a problem bear should contact DNR for their area of interest, and the wildlife manager will add the hunter to contact list for opportunities that may arise. Complete instructions for applying for bear license, map, permit, and whatever else, they're unavailable on the DNR website. And you can get there, Ava. How do you get to the DNR website?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Exactly. You're spot on. I mean,
I love when you make me look smart. Always appreciate that.
Oh my.
Well, you know.
Oh, my.
It's all good.
What do you do? I was going to pull a story here, and I'm like, I'm confused at what I did with my stories. So bear with me a second. I don't often wander like this, but I don't have much of a choice because I think they might have come out. Yeah, no wonder. They may have been printed differently than I thought. So, all right, here we go. We're going to jump into the stories. This is what we call the worst turkey miss contest. And this happens to be from the crew of Meat Eater.
Oh, good. So, we like them.
Yes.
I like them.
And the story is, because misery loves company, we want to hear about worst turkey blunders. That's what this is about. Nothing is more deflating than missing a turkey. If you think successful hunts are unforgettable, misses will etch themselves into part of your brain that handles long-term memory. Yeah. Whether it's let's throw this out there, a fish of a lifetime or a monster fish that your buddy pokes and it pops the jig out. A deer that you decide to move on your stand and it squeaks and the deer takes off. Something like those kinds of things. You know the feeling and how bad it makes you feel after. And that's kind of the stupid part about it, right? So I got several of them here. Let's see how it goes with the first one. How about that? Does that work for you, Ava?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Tony Peterson, he's one of the staff at Meat Eater. About 8 years ago, I got permission to hunt turkey on a farm near his house. He started glassing the area in March, which means if you're not an aficionado, that means you're looking for turkey with a binoculars. set of them. And he ended up finding a monster tom that had a group of 11 hens pretty much locked up. He was the perfect candidate for a full strutter, so I put up a blind, made a plan to bow hunt that specific bird, which he never does. The first day I hunted him, I spotted Longbeard with his ladies and called him away from them straight into the spread he had. When I drew on him, my brain registered a weird noise and feeling in the draw cycle, but it wasn't enough to set off any warning bells. He was 10 yards out in a full draw cycle, but it wasn't enough to set that 10 yards. There we go. And in full strut when he entered the pin. So he had the pin placed right on the turkey. And he released it. The arrow cut a triangular-shaped hole through his fan. So he completely whiffed on it. It went through the fan of the tail.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So he scrambled to knock another arrow in and shoot again. He put another hole in the fan nearly on top of the first one.
Okay, so something's off with his sights or what?
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. We'll guess that it's something off in the sights, right? He didn't know what was wrong, but I knew enough not to shoot again. So I watched him just bump my decoy until he got bored and wandered back to his girlfriends.
At least he got a show.
Yeah. Later at home, I realized that the draw stop on the top cam had sheared off. So it was causing it to shoot high.
Mm-hmm.
So you know there's a cam, there's a draw stop, so it only goes so far. Well, it kept pulling on the top, so it pulled the bow up. He arrowed a consolation bird a few days later, but he's never forgotten the only time I had a hitless tom and missed him twice from a distance. He should have killed him with a rock.
Right.
That's awesome. All right, Adam Moore, again, meat eater staff person. This is the worst turkey misses stories. This miss is so fresh, the empty shot shell is still smoking. I didn't have a plan for opening morning of the 2026 Mississippi turkey season, so I decided to hunt a spot that's produced in the past. Right at prime gobbling time, I heard the distant gobble. I knew he was roosted in the neighboring property, where I don't have permission. His muffled gobble also told me that I'd have to convince him to wade through a private thicket. It's actually spelled incorrectly. So I cut
Not
the
my
distance.
Fault.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. And so I cut the distance and waited for him to gobble again to get a better pin on him. I owl hooted and he immediately gobbled. I knew it was a long shot to call him through the thicket and off the neighboring property, so I called him from the middle of an old fire break near the property line. He cut me off and quickly dropped back, setting up on an overgrown fence row. 15 minutes passed in silence. Decided to call again. Nothing. I knew I wasn't going to come through that thicket, so I decided to shut up, sit tight, and listen. I was already daydreaming about another spot when Longbeard gobbled behind me within gun range. I slowly cut my eyes and turned my head. I can see him strutting in the pasture behind me. Not only had he come through the thicket, but he made a big loop around me. Luckily, I had enough cover to get turned around, or in this case, a little too much cover. He gobbled again, so close I could hear the rattle in his throat. I set the gun on my knee and picked an opening where he'd have to walk through before I could get a clean shot. It would be a quick and close one. After three soft yelps, he came out of his strut. I watched his head bob through the brush, a rope of a beard swinging. My heart was racing and my breathing was so loud I thought it would spook the bird. When he popped into my shooting lane, I settled the red dot, squeezed. Instead of flopping, he made a 180 and bolted. I couldn't believe it. Not until I lowered my gun did I see that the saplings in the brush were bent, splintered, and not 6 inches from my barrel. No feathers, no blood, just broken trees and a bruised ego.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so important to figure out. So here's a story for you. This would be the worst deer miss. So we were out in Montana and with my dad many years ago. And so we're shooting. We see some deer that are down in a valley and we're going to shoot. And out there, you cover a lot of territory. We had a gentleman that was an older gentleman, and we would drive a certain distance and then walk a little bit and watch and then drive again and then walk, you know, in the vehicle. And so my dad and his buddy were lining up on some mule deer down in a valley. So they lined up on him, and it was a steep hill, and we were on top of that hill. So they lined up, and my dad was shooting back up to our buddy who owned the vehicle. And it was a brand new Grand Jeep Cherokee, right? The high-end Jeep Cherokee. So they lined up on the deer, and a gentleman named Peach shot, and he's a good shot. And the deer didn't go down. My dad's looking, and he's like, "Did you hit? Where'd you hit?" And he couldn't figure out where he was hitting. So he shot again. Couldn't figure it out. He's like, "Where did, I don't get it." My dad looks down. He shot through the hood of the car. No joke. Shot through the hood of a car, in through the hood, out through the fender, just above the tire. Both rounds. Had a clean bullet hole right through the whole thing.
Oh, no.
The reason was, when you have a high magnification in this particular case, you don't see the hood in the shot. And it was such a steep angle, and he shot down, and the rifle was lined up, and of course, the scope wasn't. And there you have it.
Great.
Unfortunately, Jeeps don't cook well.
Right.
They don't smoke. You can't smoke them either.
No.
No, it doesn't work. Okay, one more story. Got to have one more. Okay, do we want to do Clay Newcomb or Brent Reeves? Your choice.
Why don't you do Clay?
Okay, ready to Clay. Since ninth grade, I've lost some of my hearing in my right ear, but my left ear still works fine. Since my right ear is compromised, I can't really course a gobbler anymore, so he can't track where one is. I learned the hard way the importance of learning, of hearing and learning for the turkey hunter. One spring morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning, I struck a gobbler in the National Forest Mountains in Arkansas. He had a cut on a mouth call, and the turkey immediately cut him off, meaning it gobbled before he even could stop gobbling with the call. I could hear well enough to know he was within 150 yards, and he just kept gobbling. He was on his way. I think he's coming from straight in front of me, so I sit down and point the gun directly in front. The next time he gobbles, he's within 60 yards, but I can't see him. I still think he's coming right down the gun barrel, so I sit for another few minutes when I catch movement, and I see him coming directly from my left. He was off. He said, "Bad off. I coursed him wrong by 90 degrees. He showed up in my 9 o'clock at 25 yards. He's right there. Putting and strutting when I finally see him, I'm way out of position. I swing, shoot, and miss. He goes to fly, but I put a bead right on him. I mean, I was just going to drop him with that second shot. I went to squeeze the trigger, and nothing happened. Apparently, my gun was dirty and jammed. I had one shot, and I missed. So I learned two hard lessons. One, I can't trust my ears. Two, I'm quoting this, clean your dadgum gun."
Right. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, is that not classic? I mean, it really is. When you deal with some of the stories, I think all of us have had those scenarios. I know had a large deer in one of the suburbs of the Twin Cities back when they were still open in some development areas. And I would hunt before I went to work. I used to work at, it was Burger Brothers back then. It would be Gander Mountain now. And it was out the back area. There's a large woods. So I go hunt before I go to work, and then I'd hunt after work. So I'm in the stand, and I'm hanging out. It's just perfect shooting conditions. Lights coming on just perfectly. And this deer I've been waiting for 2 weeks to get the right shot at least comes around a thicket, through. I can see him a ways out. And of course, the first thing, what happens in the woods that gets you all excited? What is that? Squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, I hear something. And you're like, oh, it's just a squirrel. And then you look, you're like, oh, no way.
That
it's
actually
a deer.
Yep.
Yep. So I'm standing there and I'm looking, I'm like, all right, get ready, get ready. So, and it's, you know, just shooting time. I'm able to see it perfectly. Everything's good. And it goes behind a red dogwood, and it's really thick red dogwood. And, you know, the leaves have dropped. And so I'm getting ready. I pull back and I turn. And as I turn, I wasn't shooting a release. I was shooting just finger. I rolled the string and I'm just releasing it. I didn't realize it. And the arrow had slid off the rest, not the nock, but the rest. And it went careening off through about 8 twigs, trees, branches, and whatever else. And all you hear is this clang, clang, clang.
Yep.
The deer does the drop, looks at me, and I'm trying to get this thing up and, of course, not be trying to do something quickly. Looks at me and goes, pfft. You know that.
Yep. Blew at you.
Yep. And away he went. And guess what? Last time I ever saw that one.
Yep.
Off
he
to
never
the races.
Gave you another chance.
He was off to the races.
What a jerk.
I know. Well, what do you do? You know? So, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go just kind of hang out this weekend and get prepped for some salmon and walleye fishing is what I'm going to do. That's going to be the big thing for me. I hope you guys have a good weekend. I hope you enjoy. Spend some time in the outdoors. And, of course, last but not least, be safe out there. For Ava, myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors, and we will chat with you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.